Accession number 12710, Mr. John Avery, reel 19.
Mr. J. Avery, reel 19. After the battle with the Italians, Mr. Avery, and you took the Italian general, where was your next move?
Well, we meant that was the next move. We moved up to a place called was it Sorrentini? And then we went into Lentini. You know, because as I say, I was left back a little bit. There was a I come to the crossroads, and the battalion and then my company had gone ahead. I was a bit late, and I see this officer stand at the crossroads. And he says to go that way. Well, I didn't know him by sight, but. Actually, I found out later on, he'd become our second command. And he told me to go that way. And I said, ah, did you think this war at him? I said, I would have run over here. I said, tell him, you know what I mean? Give me. And I just followed straight on, like, you know, which went on the right road. I didn't know then who he was and who he was.
What was his name?
I can't think of his name, was it? Something like that. Major he was. And as I say, when I got through this town, Lentini, it was all cobbled straight, like, you know, was the carry around, it was starting to right around, like, you know, so very well. We got to this place. To where the company was, like our lads were, like, you know, and were inspection the next day, like, you know, like a bit of a rest the next day. I didn't realise who he was till he come marching down there, and I saw, oh dear me.
This was the officer at the crossroads?
Crossroads, yes. And the young man, he started to laugh. He just walked past, like, you know, I was going to say, then you'll know me now. So I said, but as I say, it could have been anybody. We did have a word after, like, you know, a while or two after, like, you know. I said, excuse me, sir. I said, I didn't know who you were. I said, you could have been anybody to me. Direct me anywhere. He said, I quite understand. Indeed. I said, that's why I never said nothing to him, like, really.
As you were advancing, were you having any problems with roads being mined or booby traps?
Yes, definitely. When we went through, we were going on to towards Catania, and we went down this road. There was one of the line companies on our right, going like to the fields. We went down by the road. And my platoon commander, and the carrier commander then was a corporal, Johnny Howard from Elden Lane. He was a joiner before the war, like he was a trade, same as me. And we had to get down this thing to this wood effort, because we were going to put a barrier to cross towards the Catania and the aerodrome. And we were going down this road, and as we were going down, like, you know, we spotted a carrier. I don't know what it was, a carrier of some sort, and in the edge, like, oh, so it must have been it. Like, you know, in the other chap. But when we got further down, you see these lads shouting, you know, waving hands, like, you know, we didn't know, just thought the lads just waving at us. But when we got down to this, just down the road in these few houses, and got off, stopped, like, you know, and got to know, so we shouted, the road's mine. I says, what, the road's mine? And Johnny Owens, he wouldn't get out. He wouldn't move the carrier. He says, stop still, he says. So he gets out and takes his bayonet out and prodding. There they were, at the moment. Oh, dear. I said, we've come down that road. Lightning just flew back to me. I said, with a carrier like it, it'll have been it with a mine. It'll run under the mine. And we come down that road, not a thing, like, you know, and with somebody above a bane with us, I think.
In that situation, is it usual to either A, find the mines yourself by prodding with bayonets, as you've just said, or did you send for engineers?
No, we never sent for them. We just prodded for our own, like, you know, some of the NCOs and lads learned how the idea of prodding the man with your bayonet, like, you know, just prodding into his fight, so he can then start to clean around. And he found two, I know, that was all right, like, you know, we got out of that, we went to this wood, we got into this wood, laid up, like, Jerry sat there, he must have seen us, like, he must have done. And he says, we've got in the wood to get the thing. And we just got to line up, like, with the mortars. And he started full barrage. Boom, 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 did he not? He was starting off the tree, right, left, center, and his edge of his wood. Oh. We all diving. There was like a swallow in the wood. This train, you could tell almost, like, you know, we got that use of shells coming, you could see whereabouts they were dropping. You got that use of it, you know, this is coming our way, that's gone that way, you know, where the sound, I used to get to know the sound. And and I heard this one coming, and I thought, oh, this is coming there, like, you know, all down into this little thing, maybe last in. He did this tree, we went through the road, the tree where we'd blow. He did the tree, what a shattering thing. And now I was last in, my behind sticking so hard out. And I think somebody taken a bat, you know, picking bat, and slapped my backside, like, you know, boy, lad. The one shout, he said, what's the matter? I said, I don't know. Boy, somebody's hit me. Somebody's hit me. When I put the wrong thing. No, but boy, black and blue. Look, the shrapnel had come flat. When it hit the tree, it come flat. But it come sideways, it would have chopped my legs off. But it thing, boy, I couldn't sit. I could hardly sit for days, like, you know, sit down. On the carrier, when I was driving the carrier, jumping over, going over any bump, so my backside. Right, it was all black and blue. Think, as I say, somebody getting a big baton and braid me with it.
What are your feelings like under a barrage? Basically, you can do nothing about it.
You can't do nothing about it.
What are your feelings like in that situation?
Well, you hope they don't come. I thought they don't come near, but as I say, you can't hope all the time.
Does it affect your nerves at all?
Well, I don't know about the people. It never affected me. It was the only thing about it is getting out the road and hoping they won't see it again, like, you know, when we were laid there. But any road, it eased off. Then when we got away and we pulled up towards Catania, then, you know, after the think it must have been the last tomato. I thought, well, tomato might have been, it might not have been, the last jilly pull out sort of start, because there were 88 that were coming. You know what 88 was like? Woof. Tell them.
Were they a weapon that you respected, the 88?
Oh, yes. I think that was one of the finest weapons there was with Jilly, the 88. It was anti-aircraft gun, artillery, an anti-tank. It had three purposes, that gun. You could lay on the tanks with them. Once a tank was hit with 88, she was a gunner.
Were there any other weapons which the German used which you particularly had great respect for?
I liked the revolver, the Luger. Much better now, I think, I thought. Our revolvers. And the machine gun now.
Spandau?
Spandau. They were handy there. I think they were a bit better than our Bren gun. Because our Bren gun was a nice, light weapon, you know. But when you got a magazine and you were aiming at anything, it had no spray of effect on anything at all. You find at a target, you could put 30 rounds in, what did you say, half a crown. All right for single shotting. But for any thing, when he did use them, on the bipod, he just swing it around, But that Spandau was a good gun for
it. Had you received, at this stage of the war, had you received any other weapons in addition to your rifle and the Bren? Was there any other weapons coming along?
Well, as I say then, we didn't, at that stage, we had no Brens at all, 3-inch mortar. We had just 3-inch mortar and our own rifles. Some Sten guns, that was it.
What was the Sten gun like?
Well, cheap and nasty sort of Sten. To be honest and truthful, you could go like that, but the butt on the bottom, and you could fire. It was only a piece of metal with a spring in. Cock and handle, you pull it back.
Must have been dangerous.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Many a lad was wounded or shot with a Sten gun. It was cheap. I mean, if you lost it, you were losing nothing. It's just a barrel about 9 inches long, something like that, and with a tin barrel sort of style. And a spring, and then a tin effort boot, sort of style, shape as a boot, just a framework. And I bet many accidentally, they didn't know the first people had maybe did it when they maybe you go down and you just went like that, boom, a shotgun off, you see.
Where was Primosoli in the actions that you've been describing? Where did that come?
Oh, well, that was before I went down this road. Before the Mind Road.
What are your recollections?
That was before the Mind Road, yes.
What are your recollections of that?
Oh, well, my recollections of that, we got the order to go across the bridge, because the lads were going across the river, And we went across the bridge, and it was pounding it either side with these two tents. Big heavy guns, going half, letting go. And as I say, I didn't know then that this lad who was one of, used to be one of the, he's with the anti-tank then, Joe Holmes, we used to call him Pinto, he'd gotten hit because he was pulling the portee. Which you used to call nickname the bird cage, drying it when the tow ten dropped. and the shrapnel right through the door and right through his and through his legs. And the lad I'm telling you, Jimmy Singlewood, he carried him out, carried him back out, and he got taken. Jimmy got taken prisoner later on over the bridge. When he got over the bridge, but my experience was, we come with the mortars, and we come up. We were going to go up the road, which we did, on the right hand side. Dig in there, like, you know.
Over the other side of the bridge.
Over the other side of the bridge, but on the right hand side of the road, not on the left hand side. We passed the Stink Alley, and we were up there. And we caught a German paratrooper at a manoeuvre carrier. I was fetching him back, like, you know. He was half fucking a goat.
In what way?
Oh, I had him in the carrier, like, you know, taking him back. And he's then with the old jackknife was on the floor. We used to open the tins of bully if we could, have in the chair, like, you know. And was laid on the thing, taking the jackknife, and he cutting himself.
Cutting himself?
He got the my revolver, Renault revolver, and we rifled, which was in the back side of me. Like, I was driving, like, it was just me, the back, in a clip thing. And he got his head out, and he thought that was it, foolish. He pressed the trigger, like, nothing, it wasn't loaded.
He was trying to kill himself, was he?
Aye.
And was he alone with you in the carrier? Was he alone with you in the carrier?
No, there was the lads, like, who was with us, and the sergeant, I forget, he was out the Shropshire, I think they called him. I think his name was Davis or not, like, you know, but I can't think of the name now. Anyway, we're getting towards the edge of the Primusola thing again, and he got to the edge, like, and he jumped out of the curry into this ditch. And this son, he got his head shot, he just put it in, boom. Could have been half.
Shot him.
Well, yeah, it was wasting our time, anyway. When we got there, there was a big tank come up. And he wasn't going no further. I don't know who the officer was at the time. Started shouting, he said, get up there. He said, my men's getting cut to bits. He said, get up there. He says, I'll shout you. I don't know who he was. But he seemed to be a high ranking officer, like, you know.
You're the infantry.
He could have been one of the 8th battalion, 9th battalion officers, I don't know. I think he could have been one of the CEO, it could have been, I don't know for sure. Then. But I said it was a colonel or something, I don't know who he was.
And he threatened to shoot this tank.
To get forward.
If he didn't get forward.
Lads, they were getting chopped to bits.
Were they reluctant to move forward in this action?
Aye, they were. They got forward. Got forward. As he got himself sorted up, like, and got himself looked out the tank. Sniper got him.
The tank commander.
Got the sniper got him. Or before that, as I say, you're talking about coming back over the bridge again. And this lad, Walter Pipe, from Hornwick, he was on with us, like, pulling the the tank, anti-tank guns and all sorts of we were doing everything, like, you know, just to get them in, like, you know. And he couldn't, with all the crew and the other lads, he couldn't get on. He laid on the top of the engine, like that, the man, you see. And as he laid down like that, and he was looking around, poof, he got shot, well, the pipe.
And sniper again.
Sniper again. Of course, they were in the, on the stink alley there, they were, couldn't see them. After all the kerfuffle there, you went there and you could see where they cut the, you cut little holes out the cactus, you know. You could see that, oh, sniping.
When you were coming into the original attack on the bridge, what was your role then? What was your role intended to be?
Well, to get forward, help the company, you know, to get in, cross the bridge, get dug in, dug in somewhere and use the mortar to help the infantry, you know, help the infantry lads, companies. But as I say, we got in, and as I say, we went forward this. After that day, come night time, and we got the, we were picked on our carry to go forward night time, and get dug in, what we did, took the motor out the carrier that night and put it in a hole, you see, steel trench. They still carried the base plate, you know, that on the back of the carrier, put down. And he wrote, Johnny Howard, he was left. And going up that night, oh, I said, I'm sure he get knocked off here. Going up the road, he didn't travel for it, he just written out the trucks. Mark was in my mouth all the way up there till we got to his place.
What was the reason for travelling so slowly?
Well, not to travel. Night down, you know, there's sound travelling. He said, anyway. But as I say, you could, you know, just turning over, he said, no, click. Every click was an hour short of that. Anyway, we got to this place we had to be. And got them laid in, and now I had to come back with the carry. And I was dreading coming back all, just the same as I went up. The lads dropped them off the crew, and I had to fetch the carry back. Well, I was in a still myself fucking back, you know, I was only by myself then. The crew, the lads was all taken out there. Well, any road, the lady, I got back, as you say, got back to the base, like where we were based at, just in front of the premises. And in the morning, I had to go back up. Went up in the morning, by myself again.
You were across the bridge, though. You were moving just up the road.
Yeah. Across the bridge. And going up the road, this is where we found out where Adol Redhead and Ace Rain had been killed, and because we weren't far away, there was just a little bridge across the road, like, you know, and a few trees, like, you know, where the ditch, the other side. Jimmy was telling me, Jimmy, when he was at the same place, what had really happened with them, because, as I say, when we found them in the morning, like, you know, the hair was as white as that paper there.
With the bodies, was this?
Eh?
When you found their bodies?
When they were laid on the road, the hair was as white as out. And I didn't know really what had happened then, you see, because we didn't know. But after the war, like, I was told what really happened.
What had happened?
What really had happened? Jimmy singled. They went up, were going up, like, as I said. And come across these juries in underneath near the this thing in the carriage, and he had them. Yes, rain and Adel had thrown some hand grenades. Well, yes, Adel, it hadn't gone off. Well, then Judy come straight out then, boo, thing. She blew them down like thing. And Jimmy, he says, jumped off the carrier. And he said he wouldn't have been shot, he wouldn't have been hurt, like, you know. But the bayonet got caught in the carrier thing when he got off, and he couldn't get off, and as he was loading, dropping the thing off, the jury shot him in the foot. And they dropped into the gullyway in the ditch. And he crawled back. He was crawling back, like, me, bumped in one of the 9th Battalion. And Judy caught them, like, you know. He said, I could see our lads just 100 yards down the road, like, you know, see them. He says, a good caught.
And the others, you say, were killed?
Killed, aye. Well, Ace Rain and Adel Reddit, they were laid there. There were two sergeants.
Was this due to a column of carriers going forward?
When you can say now what really happened, that Punk Redway had got missed thing, and these lads had gone on, and this is where they'd run into the trouble. You say, right?
And Redway was the officer in command of that carrier group.
Of the carrier group, you say? Yeah.
Had they supposed to have gone up there, or was this contrary to their orders?
Well, I don't know. This is what I couldn't tell you. You say, they would have a different set to go on at. As I say, we'd have something different to go at, like, you know, and we didn't know that.
Where were the Germans in relation to yourself at this time? Were they close, or had they gone back?
After that, as I say, we went back in the morning, that's what we found, like, you know. And the John Howard and the lads, they were still all right, like. They were still in the trench all night, like, you know. Because they were put there in case anything really did break out, they could. There would be when you look back at it, there were a suicide squad that were out there in front, and if anything needed many move to come forward, they were there to drop a few bombs at them, a few mortar bombs.
Had they fired any?
No, not a thing. Nothing went wrong. They hadn't done really nothing. But when you reckon out the all purpose of it, that's what it's been. See, now, they couldn't have me standing out there with a carrier, you see what I mean? When you come to reckon it all out in your own mind now, you see, you couldn't have me standing up there with a carrier. They would know straight away there was something there. So I had to come back, as I said, crawl our way back again. And I went in the morning, then we moved from there further on into through the embankment, and then on the way to Catania.
Before that, did you get down the road you called Stink Alley, which was one of the main German defensive positions?
Well, I didn't get there right way down. I'd, as I say, at a run down, they'd like, I don't know what I had to go down for, but I went down, but I knew where this, down the Stink Alley, and you turned right or down to the river, there was a, where the one or two tanks and carriers had, most have come up that way, you know, because it was all churned up. And I come back to the thing, to the end of the thing. And that's where, as I say, we went to pick the lads up on the morning.
What was the scene? What were the scenes around you in daylight?
Oh, well, as I say, there was quite a few, you know, lads wounded, laid there, and dead duties and dead, some of the lads, like, you know. But as I say, you knew what was the thing. You didn't stand and stare at them, because you knew they were, you could tell if they were wounded or dead or not.